From the Mercy One studio.
Support for Faith on Trial and Iowa Catholic Radio provided in part by Imogene Ingredients.
Our freedom of conscience and religion is being challenged by laws and regulations imposed by secular society. It's time to hear from the top Christian litigators in the nation who have come forward to tell us the truth and help us defend our faith.
Hear ye, hear ye. All rise. Faith on Trial with Defender of the Faith, Deacon Mike Mano, is in session.
And good Thursday morning from the Mercy One studios in West Des Moines. I'm Deacon Mike Mano, and I'm here with Gina No, my co-host. Gina, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. This technology thing is very helpful to produce the show, but I'm hoping that we can get through the show and our listeners can hear us.
I hope so, too. We are both via Skype from various locations. Part of this has to do with the pandemic, and which is kind of rattled the station a little bit. So I'm here in my sick bed right now, where Gina, I think you are in a little bit better shape than I am.
Yes, I have quarantined my 14 days, and I don't seem to be ill yet, so I'm happy for that.
Very good, very good. We have a guest this morning. Actually, we have two guests. One we've had on before. We're going to replay that. But we have Laura Belts. Is that her name?
That's right. With the foundation.
For Individual Rights in Education. FIRE.
Right. We're gonna talk about the acronym, the FIRE.
Yeah. We're going to talk about free speech on campus, which is a big thing these days. And I think it's going to get bigger and bigger as we find conservative speech getting shut down more and more.
Well, and especially since the students are online and they can be recorded, or they can be their information, whatever they share can be replayed. It's important that we protect the rights of our students.
That's right. And but we see those rights being eroded, not only on college campuses, but in other places as well. And we talked about that on the phone the other day about the challenge to religious freedom, and that goes right along with the challenge to the First Amendment and our free speech rights. And so I imagine with the next year coming up, we'll be talking a lot about this.
Well, it seems to me that there's so many isolated cases that all come to the same conclusion in the end, and yet they don't seem to set a precedent or a change in policy, especially on college campuses. It'll be interesting to get Laura's perspective. She authored this report and has a really good handle after studying the policies of over 400 different colleges and universities. And especially important is the ability for our students to practice their faith while they are in their institutions, which is also protected, you know, under that same umbrella. So it'll hopefully she'll have some good insight for us and be able to give us information that will help our students be able to take that with them as they attend these online classes.
Yeah, and, you know, we haven't, up to a few weeks ago, paid a whole lot of attention to what was going on college campuses, at least not on the radio program, we haven't. But it is getting to be more and more interesting as we look into what is going on. Should give a tip of the hat here to the president of the University of Northern Iowa for the stand that he took on free speech not too long ago. The stand-up guy who did that, unfortunately, he's probably going to find himself in the line of fire, so to speak. But hopefully we'll have more people like that, more college presidents like that are going to stand up and are going to articulate on behalf of the free speech rights of their students.
That's right. And our next guest then has to deal with freedom of the press, another freedom awarded by the First Amendment.
Right. Adam Golet, who is president of Accuracy in Media, we had him on back in August. As a matter of fact, it was on my birthday we had him on, and we're going to replay that interview for you a little bit later, because this is becoming more and more important, especially now that we're watching the media really stifle free speech and what news is all about. I mean, we're finding out the mainstream media and the social media has really squelched a lot of the news that has been floating around lately that most people have not been able to hear, and that's certainly a threat to our freedom, not only our freedom of speech, but our freedom of religion and everything else that goes with it.
That's absolutely correct. So to begin our show, I'd like to start with a prayer for peace.
Certainly.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God of peace, bring your peace to our violent world. Peace in the hearts of all men and women, and peace among the nations of the earth. Turn to your way of love those whose hearts and minds are consumed with hatred. Strengthen us in hope and give us the wisdom and courage to work tirelessly for a world where true peace and love reign among the nations and in the hearts of all. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Gina. You're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio, and we will be back in a few minutes with Laura Belts from the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education.
Is it time for a new roof? Then it could be time for you to get to know Bell Construction. Bell Construction is a roofing company entering its 30th year of business. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by the Catholic Tuition Organization.
Your support of CTO provides qualifying families tuition assistance to send their kiddos to our Catholic schools. They benefit, and you benefit, with 65% Iowa tax credits. Online at ctoiowa.org.
Until December 15th, contributions from new donors are matched. New donors double their impact with a donation to CTO, thanks to the Reichhardt Family Foundation.
The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Karbaka, Dr. Christine Mulcahy, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Storm Alert Weather is provided by Divine Treasures. Divine Treasures is a Catholic book and gift store serving the Des Moines community for over 25 years. Their mission is to help Catholics know, love, and keep their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and His Church. Divine Treasures is where you can find great Catholic books, beautiful Bibles, rosaries, jewelry, statues, and religious gifts for those memorable events in your life. Divine Treasures, 5701 Hickman Road, Des Moines, 515-255-5230. Thank you to Divine Treasures for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Thank you, Skeffington's Formal Wear, for sponsoring Dowling Catholic High School football. In business since 1951, Skeffington's Formal Wear offers quality service, style, and selection, providing tuxedos, suits, and casual groom attire for weddings, proms, and any other special occasion. Skeffington's Formal Wear, with convenient locations in Des Moines, West Des Moines, Davenport, Coralville, and Ankeny. All locations are family-owned and operated by members in their respective communities, fitting you for life celebrations. Online at skeffingtons.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Faith on Trial provided by Paul Martin and Paul Mitchell, owners of Imogene Ingredients. Imogene Ingredients supply specialized feed ingredients for livestock and pet diets to improve maternal and young animal health in both conventional and organic production.
Welcome back to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio. Today we have a guest, Laura Belts from the Foundation for Information Freedom, or for individual, I'm sorry, the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education to discuss a study that they've recently done. Laura, are you there?
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. So the foundation has done a study on speech on our nation's campuses. Why don't you give us a little background about why this study was done and how it, what information it produced?
Sure thing. So FIRE is a nonprofit that is dedicated to defending student and faculty civil liberties, such as free speech, on college campuses nationwide. And we release a report each year that details the major trends that we're seeing in our database that catalogs all the policies that regulate expression at schools across the country. And unfortunately, the news is not great. We're seeing that most schools have written policies that restrict speech that is protected under the First Amendment. And in the case of private schools, they restrict free speech despite the fact that they overwhelmingly promise their students free speech rights.
Interesting. How many universities were there in total?
Sure. So our database covers 478 schools across the country. It's all four-year colleges right now. But it gives you a sort of snapshot, a sampling of what the state of free speech is across the country. And some of these policies that we're talking about are things like protest policies, whether you can hand out flyers on campus. But a lot of these policies just restrict any sort of offensive or controversial speech. And as you can imagine, that includes a great deal of speech, essentially any speech that the college takes issue with.
And how are the students informed of the school's policies? I know we've had a case in the Florida, one of the universities in Florida let their student council president off of his position, kicked him off the school board or the student council because of something he had posted on a private chat group that had then gotten screenshot and shared with other students. But students, how do they become aware of these policies and what their boundaries might be?
Well, that's a big issue, actually, because, you know, a lot of students don't get onto campus and immediately read through their student handbook or read through all the policies that regulate their behavior. That's probably one of their last concerns when they come onto college. But, you know, we're seeing that these policies often have these restrictive provisions in them that students aren't even aware of until an administrator decides that they've crossed some sort of line. And with the pandemic, even though a lot of schools are teaching remotely right now, a lot of these policies apply to online speech like that example you were talking about. So the threat to free speech is pretty prevalent.
I took a look at some of the background of the study, and it looks like you've been reviewing these policies for a number of years, over 10 years. How have the policies changed over that time period?
You know, there's some both good and bad news. The good news is that the most severely restrictive policies are getting fixed up. They are being revised. And this is from a number of factors, of course, advocacy on the part of groups like ourselves, but also legislative efforts. A lot of states have passed laws banning certain types of restrictive speech codes. But unfortunately, a lot of schools are sort of revising the worst, most clearly unconstitutional policies, but are still leaving these vague policies on the books. And they allow administrators to apply them in an abusive manner, you know, against speech that they find disfavored. And so they're just as much of a problem as the clear on their face issues. So in the years that we've been writing this report, it used to be that most schools were earning our worst red light rating, about 75%. Now only about 21% earns that rating. So good news there, but a long way for us to go with the vague policies.
Well, I noticed that one of the anecdotal stories shared in the report was about a New Jersey student that used a picture of President Trump as his backdrop for his Zoom when he zoomed into his classes, and the school found it offensive and disrespectful, and that it taunted and bullied other students. How would that student have ever? That seems so very. He's the president of the United States, if nothing else. Is this stifling the speech of students? Do they feel intimidated then to even express any kind of opinion?
Exactly. You know, the standards here in that case and in so many cases are so subjective. You know, what is offensive to some people is certainly not offensive to others. And that's exactly why the Supreme Court has stated in decades of decisions that you can't limit speech just because it has offended someone. But unfortunately, in these university policies, we're seeing a lot of bans on offensive content, especially online. There are a lot of email policies that say you can't send something that might offend someone. And so you have these situations where students really are caught off guard with these charges then, such as in the Stockton case. So we're hoping that with our report like this, we can shine a light on these policies and make sure that students are aware if they go to a school where restrictive speech codes are in place.
So a student expresses themselves in a way that's offensive, and either for another classmate or a professor maybe even files a complaint with the university. What kinds of actions are taken against these students who so-called violate these school policies?
Well, it can run the gamut. You know, sometimes these students are charged with pretty serious allegations like harassment that can get them suspended or expelled. But also, a lot of times, these sorts of charges lead to kind of education mandatory requirements and mediation and these sort of things that the university might not say is discipline. But, you know, if you're bringing a student into an administrator's office and saying you need to go through this educational program, you know, that's pretty coercive. And so that is discipline in itself. So we want to make sure that even if these don't lead to something as serious as suspension, that these sorts of policies are taken off the books.
So if a student or even a professor finds themselves in a situation of having a complaint filed against them and facing some kind of action by the university, what is their recourse? Who do they contact? How can they dig themselves out of this misunderstanding, or do they just look for another university?
Well, I would, of course, suggest that they submit a case to us, to the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education. We have a submit a case page where a student or a faculty member can fill out a form and explain what has happened, attach some documents to see if we can take a look and see if we can defend their case, because certainly we don't want these students, these faculty members who are being brought, into the administrator's office to feel like they have no recourse or to feel like they are alone on this. It's interesting. During this year, it has been our busiest year yet. We were founded in 1999, but 2020 was our busiest year ever as far as case submissions. Because even though students haven't been physically on campus, there have been a lot of issues as far as online speech goes. So we encourage folks that think something might be wrong to let us know.
Do you think they've heard more about you, or do you think that the cases are more prevalent?
It could be a bit of both, but I think we are seeing more and more cases now. And I think also, you know, just comparing 1999 to today, we're hearing about a lot of these cases online. You know, we'll see a controversy on social media, and that's how we hear about the case. So I think a bit of both, but this has been a year with quite a few cases.
Oh, interesting that you reach out to them. Have you ever... do you offer any help to do the universities know you've done this study, and have you had any response from them asking maybe for help to revise their policies?
Yes. So we let schools know when they have, you know, our worst red light rating, and we certainly publicize the report. And we have received outreach from schools saying, you know, oh, we didn't even know that that policy was still on the books, or we overlooked that when we were revising old ones to comply with new state law, something like that. And so they have asked us to take a look and provide suggested edits, and we're thrilled to do that. And that's exactly what we hope the report can lead to.
And I noticed that at the very end of the summary of the report, it mentions that there are 56 institutions that you hold in very high regard in terms of their freedom of speech for the students, and would encourage students who are find this important to take a look at these institutions.
Absolutely. And some of those are schools that we have worked with in order to fix up all of their policies to better meet First Amendment standards. Two of them that joined our green light list this year are Florida State University and the University of Colorado Boulder. Both of them removed all of their restrictive policies and worked with us this year to do so. So we're really proud to see them join the green light list.
Wonderful. So give us some information about how people can find this report and look for that list of 56 universities that have worked hard to get a green light rating from you, and how people can support your organization.
Sure thing. So if you'd like to see the report, you can head to thefire.org/reports to see all of our past ones, including this current one. And you can head on over to our Spotlight database to look up a school that you care about to see if it is protecting students' First Amendment rights. And if you're interested in contributing to our cause, thefire.org/donate is where you can do so, and we appreciate that very much.
Wonderful. Well, it's been great to talk to you this morning about this report. I appreciate your meeting with us, especially our listeners don't know, but short notice. And keep up the great work. You're listening to Faith on Trial, and we'll be right back.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by the Catholic Tuition Organization.
Your support of CTO provides qualifying families tuition assistance to send their kiddos to our Catholic schools. They benefit, and you benefit, with 65% Iowa tax credits. Online at ctoiowa.org.
Until December 15th, contributions from new donors are matched. New donors double their impact with a donation to CTO, thanks to the Reichhardt Family Foundation.
The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Karbaka, Dr. Christine Mulcahy, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
On behalf of the InterVisions Healthcare family, we wish you and yours a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. At our clinic, birthdays are an important milestone which we celebrate. Since our doors opened in 2011, over 1,150 at-risk mothers facing an unplanned pregnancy have chosen life. This Christmas season, join us in thanking God for the joyful blessings and the great work that He's doing at InterVisions Healthcare. For the latest about our clinic, visit ivhcare.org.
Thank you, Skeffington's Formal Wear, for sponsoring Dowling Catholic High School football. In business since 1951, Skeffington's Formal Wear offers quality service, style, and selection, providing tuxedos, suits, and casual groom attire for weddings, proms, and any other special occasion. Skeffington's Formal Wear, with convenient locations in Des Moines, West Des Moines, Davenport, Coralville, and Ankeny. All locations are family-owned and operated by members in their respective communities, fitting you for life celebrations. Online at skeffingtons.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio's broadcast of Dowling Catholic Sports and Activities is provided by Kemin, a global ingredient manufacturer using science to transform the quality of life for 80% of the world. Kemin is on the leading edge of molecular science, manufacturing more than 500 specialty ingredients for the human and animal health and nutrition, pet food, aquaculture, nutraceutical, food technologies, crop technologies, and textile industries. Kemin strives to sustainably transform the quality of life every day for 80% of the world with their products and services. Kemin, using science to transform the world. Online at Kemin.com.
Here's your forecast on Iowa Catholic Radio. Should be sunny through the afternoon with our high pretty comfortable, about 57. We'll have clouds moving in tonight with our low near 33. Showers are likely tomorrow and a lot cooler, upper 30s. The weather is brought to you by Rock Valley Physical Therapy. Outstanding outpatient physical therapy and sports medicine rehabilitation with 7 convenient locations in the Des Moines metro and southwest Iowa area. I'm meteorologist Steve Hamilton on Iowa Catholic Radio.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio.
And you're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio, and we are back with Adam Gallette, who is president of Accuracy and Media. Adam, how are you this morning?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me.
Certainly. We're happy to have you with us, and it's topical time with the conventions and the political campaign getting ready to start. I'm concerned about a number of things having to do with fodder that's being thrown out in the election right now. And we just talked to David Ditch from the Heritage Foundation on debunking the myths that are going on about the post office. And I know there's a lot of other myths that are going on that you are keeping track of. But one of the things that has come across my desk are the number of people lately that have been leaving the media and telling all about it. I think there's a lady from the New York Times that has recently left. There's people from MSNBC that have already left. What do we make of all of this? And maybe if you can bring our listeners kind of up to date in what I'm talking about here, since I'm not doing it very well.
No, you're doing great. What's abundantly clear now is that in our fractured media landscape, where there's so many people competing for eyeballs and competing for clicks and competing for ratings and subscription sales, the profit motive has forced these news outlets to just find a base ideologically and appease them no matter what. Meaning, the New York Times knows that anti-Trump stories will sell, and stories that are pro-Trump won't sell to their left-wing audience. So if there's no anti-Trump news that day, they'll make something up. They'll exaggerate whatever. They'll write whatever they have to, because they know the anti-Trump stories are the only way that they can pay the bills and keep the lights on. And you're seeing people leave journalism because they're sickened of this. Some people, regardless of their ideology, got into journalism to report the truth and to educate the American people. And they're obviously put off by the fact that to have a successful news outlet, it seems these days, you've got to lie, cheat, smear, and just tell stories that your base wants to read, even if they're inconsistent with reality.
Now, I have a degree in journalism. That was my undergraduate degree. And I, like you, have been kind of appalled at watching the ethics of journalists these days. These exits by some of these well-known journalists, is that catching anybody's attention in the top levels of these news establishments that maybe we're going to have to look for a different direction or go back closer to the center and, you know, we report, you decide type reporting?
Unfortunately, it's not, because the much bigger thing catching their attention is their bottom line. And particularly print newspapers who've been suffering so much. McClatchy, for example, owns dozens of daily newspapers around the country. They filed for bankruptcy before COVID even hit. So these outlets are struggling, and they realize they have a better chance of making money. MSNBC has a better chance of higher ratings if they write a specific kind of story appeasing and appealing to a specific kind of base. And even if they value journalism, even if that matters to them, these days, to compete economically, it's not in their interest to write honest, decent stories. And it really is a shame.
Now, you write on your website here something about journalists living in a bubble.
Yeah. Well, of course. I mean, even if they wanted to report open, fair, unbiased news covering all sides equally, that would be so hard for so many of them to do. You know, we all remember famously from Nixon in 72 when the McGovern voter said, "I couldn't believe that Nixon won. I didn't know a single person who voted for him."
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing with these journalists. They live in a leftist echo chamber. They're surrounded by other leftists. They read leftist papers like the Times and the Washington Post. They watch Rachel Maddow and CNN. they can't even comprehend the notion of an evangelical Christian or a conservative or anything like that because they've never met one.
Yeah, we're certainly out here in Iowa in the what they call the flyover country, where I think they only come here once every 4 years to cover the caucuses.
That's right.
Which were a flop this year because the people in charge couldn't do counting correctly.
Well, honestly, it was exemplified in Iowa just this week. 2 weeks ago, we had a terrible storm decimate one of our major metropolitan areas. And the crickets on the news about the people struggling in that area, hundreds of thousands of people who were stuck in their homes with no electricity for over a week, couldn't go out because of the electrical wires over their yards.
The trees falling
right.
in front of their doors, yeah.
But that kind of a story just was irrelevant to the rest of the world.
Well, if they could have found a way to blame Trump for the storm, your storm would have gotten far more widespread coverage than, you know, what ended up happening.
Well, I thought he did cause it. I thought he did cause it.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, as soon as he did announce he was coming out here, there's been quite a bit more news coverage, morning and evening. So it's helped.
Yeah.
It's helped, yes. Yeah. So I agree with your whole analysis of, and I had never put those two items together, that it's not just ideology, but it's the financial impact of this of the truth telling in the paper.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. A lot of print newspapers, and I'm a print guy myself, but a lot of these print newspapers are either going out of business or converting to all online. What effect does that have on their ability to carry the news correctly?
Well, the print newspapers, for me, are especially frustrating because we all saw nearly every daily newspaper in the country over the past few decades move far to the left. First, it was just the editorial page that was left-wing. Then basically every page became the editorial page. And when we would complain about it, we were always told, well, it's a free market. If people don't want to support that newspaper, they don't have to. Well, what's happened is that so many of these newspapers have gone out of business or gone online only, or like McClatchy, filed for bankruptcy. And now what they're literally doing as we speak is pressuring Congress for a dedicated bailout for large media conglomerates. Smaller independent newspapers like the Seattle Times and the Tampa Times, they already got $7.5 to $8.5 million each through the payroll protection program. But now the big media companies that own dozens of failing newspapers that alienated their audiences by moving so very far to the left, people didn't want to voluntarily purchase those newspapers anymore or read their stories online. So instead, they're trying to use the power of government to force us to pay for their newspaper to stay in business.
Yeah, I know the register numbers here, the Des Moines Register, have been declining substantially in the last few years. I wouldn't be surprised if they eventually went online.
All of these newspapers had a huge advantage once the internet came. They could have been the first people to really explode online. They had name ID. They had the staff in place. There's no reason that online had to destroy these newspapers. There's no reason they couldn't have flourished online. Plenty of brands transitioned online quite well, but they stuck with their ways.
Like newspapers did in the advent of radio.
That's exactly right.
The smart ones got involved with that right away.
That's exactly right. But instead, these folks had alienated their audiences so much that as soon as consumers had the opportunity to get their news from someone who didn't hate them ideologically, they took advantage of that opportunity, and these newspapers suffered. Yeah. And they're not going to learn the economic consequences of it if we allow the government to bail them out.
What about local broadcast media?
You know, I've always found local broadcast media to be a little bit better and more balanced than print media. Local broadcast media is more interested in traffic and weather together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They've been less obnoxiously ideological, in my opinion, just from my experiences over the years. The trickier thing is you would get reporters who didn't as much have a beat and weren't as familiar with the local nature of many of the stories because they move around so much. But I've personally found them to be far less offensively leftist and far less political than the print journalists.
Now, I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a newscast on one of our local television stations here, and it was about mail-in voting. And the anchor ended the report by stating that, well, of course, there's never been any documented instance of massive voter fraud that has changed elections. And, of course, that came out the same week that the Heritage Foundation report on mail-in voting came out, which demonstrated very clearly that there had been. And I'm wondering, is it ignorance that's causing things like this, or are they deliberately trying to distort something?
I mean, it sounds like they're transitioning to a comedy channel for ratings purposes. Yeah. My gosh. No demonstrable instance of voter fraud changing elections. Who doesn't remember the Dino Rossi gubernatorial race in Washington State where he won on election night? He won the recount. The courts mandated another recount, which wasn't what the law prescribed for, but the courts mandated it anyway. And they did another recount, and Dino Rossi lost that one. And then they said no more recounts.
Yeah.
Come to find out, tons of felons had voted in Cook County, and many of them shouldn't have been legally allowed to vote. And they, of course, voted via mail. As John Fund has written and done studies on repeatedly, and he's written great books on this, the biggest example of provable fraud that exists is via absentee ballots.
Yeah.
So if we were to just mail out ballots to every single person, even if they didn't request one, even if they don't have a pulse, even if they've moved, I mean, what an open invitation.
Yeah, that was the subject of my column in The Wanderer last week.
So say that again slowly. Who wrote the book, and what's the name of the book?
Well, sure. John Fund has written a couple different, I can't remember the names off the top of my head, but he's written a couple different wonderful books about voter fraud. He's, I would say, the leading expert of it. And he argues that it may not be the biggest source of fraud, but the biggest source of provable fraud has been absentee balloting. So to expand that by doing mail-in ballots to everyone, whether or not they request one, whether or not they're an active voter, whether or not they live here anymore, as I said, open invitation for fraud.
Sure. Interestingly, campaigns and elections is my background. So I work with the voter files for a number of years, and they've gotten better in Iowa as we've progressed, and they do a much better job of removing people who have died. But like this week alone, our county sent out absentee ballot forms for people to request their absentee ballot. And I've heard multiple stories of people saying, I got two, you know, somebody who hasn't lived here in 10 years, I've got theirs and mine. And I thought, well, if we were in a situation where they mailed out literal ballots, they'd have gotten two ballots right at that home.
Yeah. And, Hans von Spankowski, who was originally going to be with us today speaking on voter fraud, he's a Heritage Foundation fellow that wrote the report on that. He mentioned that there's a colleague in his office who is from Washington State. She has not lived in Washington State for like the last 10, 15 years. She's been in District of Columbia, the other Washington, and yet she still gets these mail-in ballots from the state every election time, even though she's been out of the state and votes elsewhere.
Well, the good news coming out of all of this is that despite killing all of those senior citizens in New York by sending COVID patients to nursing homes, at least they'll still have an opportunity to vote this fall, given New York's voter bracket.
That's right. You know, the old saying, my father voted Republican until he died, then he started voting Democrat or whatever side you want to go. Yeah.
But back to the news for just a minute. When I get, you know, you get home at night, you want to turn on the TV while you're making dinner and kind of get caught up on what's going on in the nation and around the world, I find it more and more difficult to get straight up news because there's so many commentators. And it's difficult at some points to tell the difference between the commentators in the news and the actual deliverers of the newscasters. How are we to discern those kinds of things?
Well, the best thing one can do is just try to listen to and watch and read both sides quite a bit. Think about the news the way that we think about, you know, cable television these days. Ratings are down for every single channel everywhere because audiences are fragmented dramatically amongst so many different stations and amongst online and Netflix and so forth. So the best content is really aimed at a specific audience. Instead of making broad appeal television where the whole family can sit down together, that stuff doesn't exist as much now. Instead, it's more niche programming going after a specific targeted audience. Well, the news is the same way. Unfortunately, instead of making broad appeal, right down the middle news that everybody can watch regardless of their ideology, they've realized it's in their interest to, well, we're going to, you know, MSNBC, we're going to go after the leftists. Hopefully we can get enough leftists. you know, CNN, we're going to try to do that, but maybe not quite as liberal as you guys, and so forth. They're going after niche audiences. They're not going for mass appeal.
They're narrow casting rather than broadcasting.
Yes, that's exactly it.
And so that's why after every story, I have to hear the journalist's opinion on that story, where they fall, and rather than just moving on to the next story.
That's right. That's right. And and some of the opinions are rather interesting. But you do notice a big difference between, say, watching Fox News and watching MSNBC. Let's talk a minute about Fox News. They're the conservative media, the big conservative media on the block. They seem to be garnering a pretty fair audience. How are they in relation to the more liberal broadcast medias, or narrowcast medias, as we're renaming them?
Well, of course, Fox, like anybody else in primetime, it's opinion-oriented shows as opposed to hard news shows. And anybody in primetime, it's going to be, you know, more in-your-face, salacious arguments back and forth. And that is stuff that I never really hold any network as accountable for, unless people are outright lying. That's another story. But I would expect opinions in primetime. But to Fox's credit, they also have incredible shows like Special Report. They have real journalists, real newsmen like Brett Baer and Britt Hume.
Yes.
Chris Wallace, I think, is fantastic. He's maybe the best newsman out there. I think he should be moderating, you know, every debate there is. Instead, they allow former Clintonista George Stephanopoulos to moderate debates as if he is somehow a journalist.
Yeah, that's true, because Chris Wallace comes from a long line of journalists.
Isn't that funny?
It's in his blood.
You know, you bring up someone like Brett Hume, and I feel like we need more journalists like that that are digging for stories for us, getting behind the facts and finding where they're coming from, rather than the style of the gotcha kind of a story and research of subject matters about our nation and the world.
That's right. And to me, what honestly is most dangerous and more worrisome even than the CNNs and the MSNBCs and the New York Timeses are online news sites like BuzzFeed and Now This. They're the only ones I know who have diabolically and brilliantly broken through the echo chamber. For those who don't know, BuzzFeed is an online news site. You see it on social media. They built their following by sharing puppy videos and kitten videos and clickbait articles. And tens of millions of people started following them. Then, once they built up a big following, they pivoted and started putting out hard left news. Well, think about it. When you tune into MSNBC, you expect hard left news. But when you signed up for puppy videos, and now you're reading lies about Donald Trump, you're getting to an audience that never otherwise would be exposed to it. And it's primarily a young and impressionable audience.
It is.
Now, this primarily hires executives from the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign at a supposed news outlet.
Yeah, yeah. It's an upside-down world out there. Adam, we're going to have to let it go at this right now. We're kind of out of time. But before we do go, if you have a web address or an email address or something you'd like to give to our listeners in case they want more information.
Sure. If you ever want to fight back against media bias and outrageous corruption in public policy, our website is aim.org, A-I-M.org. We're active on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and we document some of the media bias, which is so prevalent. But more than anything, we take action against it. AIM.org.
Very good. Thank you very much. Adam Gallette, the president of Accuracy in Media. We will have you back another time. Thank you very much. And this is
Faith on
Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio, and we will be right back after these messages.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by the Catholic Tuition Organization.
Your support of CTO provides qualifying families tuition assistance to send their kiddos to our Catholic schools. They benefit, and you benefit, with 65% Iowa tax credits. Online at ctoiowa.org.
Until December 15th, contributions from new donors are matched. New donors double their impact with a donation to CTO, thanks to the Reichardt Family Foundation.
The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Storm Alert Weather is provided by Divine Treasures. Divine Treasures is a Catholic book and gift store serving the Des Moines community for over 25 years. Their mission is to help Catholics know, love, and keep their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and His Church. Divine Treasures is where you can find great Catholic books, beautiful Bibles, rosaries, jewelry, statues, and religious gifts for those memorable events in your life. Divine Treasures, 5701 Hickman Road, Des Moines, 515-255-5230. Thank you to Divine Treasures for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
On behalf of the Inner Visions Healthcare family, we wish you and yours a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. At our clinic, birthdays are an important milestone which we celebrate. Since our doors opened in 2011, over 1,150 at-risk mothers facing an unplanned pregnancy have chosen life. This Christmas season, join us in thanking God for the joyful blessings and the great work He's doing at Inner Visions Healthcare. For the latest about our clinic, visit ivhcare.org.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio's broadcast of Dowling Catholic Sports and Activities is provided by Kemin, a global ingredient manufacturer using science to transform the quality of life for 80% of the world. Kemin is on the leading edge of molecular science, manufacturing more than 500 specialty ingredients for the human and animal health and nutrition, pet food, aquaculture, nutraceutical, food technologies, crop technologies, and textile industries. Kemin strives to sustainably transform the quality of life every day for 80% of the world with their products and services. Kemin, using science to transform the world. Online at Kemin.com.
Since 1924, St. Vincent de Paul has been helping those less fortunate work towards self-sufficiency. Last year, St. Vincent de Paul helped over 20,000 individuals with food, clothing, and shelter, while also offering classes in financial literacy, high school completion, career readiness, and prisoner reentry. SVDPDSM.org, 515-282-8327. Shop, donate, volunteer, serve. This message was brought to you by Homemakers Furniture.
Hi, this is Joe Stopulis. Thank you to construction professionals for underwriting Man Up, Monday mornings at 9 on Iowa Catholic Radio. Construction professionals, a Catholic family business built on a strong foundation. CPCustomHomes.com.
Thanks to Blessman International for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Every year, Blessman International leads teams of Central Iowans to share the compassionate heart of Christ with orphans and vulnerable children in South Africa. You can learn more and sign up for a trip at blessmaninternational.org.
And you're listening to Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio. Gina, interesting program today. The interview with Adam Gallette, I think, was just as fresh today as it was when we first aired it. And, of course, your interview with Lisa was certainly something that we want to take note of.
I think they both really summarized for us the protections of the First Amendment and how the limiting our speech or giving only a biased projection of the news affects our secular view and can creep right into our faith and our expression of our faith as Catholic Christians.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see more and more of this coming up this this new year that we have coming up. I think this swing against free speech and against freedom of religious expression is just continuing to swing against us, and we're going to be fighting a bit of an uphill battle for the next year or so.
It's very interesting that the Supreme Court hasn't heard a lot of these cases, but what they have heard, they've set the precedent, and unfortunately, the schools continue to test those precedents in our courts. And that our first guest, Laura, had a different kind of perspective on the numbers of students who are coming forward to show that there's difficulties for them to be able to express their opinions on campus.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think as it becomes more prevalent, we're going to hear more and more complaints. But you do make an interesting point, and that's that a lot of times these, universities will make a rule and they will be slapped down by the courts, and yet the next university will go and do the same thing and get slapped down again. And I think part of it is that a lot of these cases don't get fully litigated. I think what happens, and we've talked to a lot of our friends from ADF and FIRE and places like that, is when they get involved in these cases, they kind of cut it up in such a way that it easy pickings for the First Amendment folks to win the case. And what happens then, I think, is a lot of the people on the other side, the universities or whatever, they tend to fold and they tend to take what they can off the table before they're forced to leave the table. And I think that then leaves us with an incomplete precedent as the cases go forward.
Oh, I hadn't thought about it that way, but certainly the courts, the individuals are manipulating the court system then to their benefit.
Yeah, I think so. And what happens is, like I say, you will get to a point where the university realizes that it's going to have some problems. And the result is that, like I say, they know when to fold them, you know, as the song goes. And they fold and they go and they keep enough chips to play another day. And we never really get the full impact of what an adverse court ruling would be on them.
Well, I certainly think Adam's representation of how the press either covers these stories or doesn't cover these stories or commentates on these stories, it's very newsworthy today, I guess, in some ways, because we have a leadership change coming up, I think. I can't be too certain of that.
Can't be too certain, but there's...
Depending on who you talk to. But the contrast will be interesting to see if there truly is a contrast in the way that they cover the presidency.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we know how they'll cover a Biden presidency. And, of course, that's going to be another challenge for us, is that if we do have a Biden presidency, we've got a Catholic in the Oval Office and who is preparing policies that diametrically go against what Catholic Church teaching is on a number of issues. And so we're going to have that dynamic to deal with, too. We'll have to see how these things play out in the court right now as far as the election is concerned, although I am one that, having watched what has gone on, and, of course, we've been blaring the trumpet on this since spring with the mail-in voting. We've had just referenced some of that with Adam's interview, that there is something fishy going on in this election, and it will probably take the Supreme Court to get to the bottom of it. But one way or another, I think there's going to be a lot of people going to be very unsatisfied whichever way it goes.
Well, I have noticed that people of faith on the social media, anyway, have been really loud and vocal about some of the things you've just mentioned, and especially about the way the press is handling coverage. I know with the appointment of Archbishop Gregory to becoming a cardinal, there's been a lot of corrections about the way that's being reported in the news. I think I don't know how we can correct how we can better educate our news media and our public about the Catholic faith so that things like these are more accurately reported, so that the contradictions maybe coming from our elected officials who profess to be part of our faith community are not used as the educator about our faith.
Yeah. Part of our duty right now is to make sure that we carry the truth in our own little corner of the world. We may not be able to change the world. We may not be able to educate the world. But at least for those who are around us, they will hopefully be exposed to what the truth is and maybe grow from that knowledge.
True. It's up to all of us, I guess, and we'll do our best.
And I think that's all God asks us to do, is our best. Doesn't ask us necessarily to be successful, but that we be faithful and that we continue to try.
Very good.
All right. I think we're about at the end of our time right now. Thank you, Gina, for all your help this week. I know this was you got a lot pressed upon you this week because of my illness, and you were able to handle that very well. And thank you for getting our interview. We have one more program to go before the Christmas break, and that'll be next week. Until then, let's leave it with our St. Michael prayer. And of course, this time in our world's history, this prayer probably is more necessary than ever. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. For Gina and myself, join us again next week for another edition of Faith on Trial on Iowa Catholic Radio. Until then, have a blessed and peaceful week.
Our freedom of conscience and religion is being challenged by laws and regulations imposed by secular society. Faith on Trial with Defender of the Faith, Deacon Mike Mano. Faith on Trial, Thursdays at 10 a.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio, iowacatholicradio.com, and the Iowa Catholic Radio app.
Support for Faith on Trial and Iowa Catholic Radio provided in part by Imogene Ingredients.